You are not rightly distinguishing law and gospel in the word of God if you turn the gospel into a preaching of repentance. Hi, I'm Tom Baker, and you're listening to Law and Gospel here on KFUO. And it is Friday, February the 21st. What that means is it's open mic. You can call in with any question. We do this at least once a week. Of course, during the other programs, you can call in too if it's on the subject. But on Fridays, you can do your own subject. In the St. Louis area, the numbers are 821-0850. Anywhere in North America, it's 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And I always like to have a little something in case calls don't come in right away. But we encourage you to do them early because not long ago we weren't able to get to all the callers. And it's something that's pretty good when we hear what's on your mind. So today I thought we would start off, though, with Thesis 15. Of what? Well, it's of Law and Gospel by C.F.W. Walther. Actually, he never wrote the book. He did a series of lectures, and they were transcribed from notes taken by a student. It was over a year and a half on Friday nights he did these lectures, and there's 25 different principles he evokes. The first four are just basic understanding of what law and gospel is and what law and gospel isn't, but the last 21 are ways in which pastors and laity mess up law and gospel. And the reason I want to take a look at this particular one in between calls is because it really helped me to understand a far deeper view of contrition. That's right, contrition, than what we are normally understanding as contrition. So, but calls do interrupt. And so if you want to call, don't hesitate to do so at 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And we're going to start off with a call from Roland. Hi, Roland.
Hello, Pastor.
How can I help you?
I was just wanting to ask you, a few days ago at Portals of Prayer, we had to read Psalm 30, and then verse 9. I've run across that before, and it kind of scares me a little bit. It sounds like me when I was 14 talking back to my dad or mom. Can you ask me what, or just tell me what that means, verse 9 on Psalm 30? How does the one talk to the Almighty God like that? It seems like it's out of place.
Okay.
I'll listen on the radio.
Well, no. Stay on for a second, because I'm going to ask you a question here or there. Psalm 30 is entitled, Joy Comes with the Morning. And it says, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Now, who do you think, and you need to listen a little careful here, Roland, who do you think this is a prayer of?
I think it's a guy that's just about ready to get whacked.
Absolutely. Now, if you take a look, these psalms are written by David, but these are not prayers of David. You know what the psalms are? They're prayers of Jesus.
Okay.
And now, just think of this. Boy, you were right on about him just about ready to be whacked. He says, to you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me, O Lord, be my helper. Now, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was so nervous about what was ahead of him that, remember, it said he sweated as though drops of blood. Now, what he was nervous about was not the pain of the crucifixion, But as he himself said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? To prove to you that this is a prayer of Jesus, let's look at the very next verse, verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not by silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is Jesus giving thanks to the Father that he got him through that crucifixion and raised him from the dead. And so...
So it's a prophetic
song. Oh, right on. Very well said, Roland.
Oh, okay.
Is that helpful?
Okay. Yeah. Takes me off the hook.
Well, no, the cross takes you off the hook entirely. That's what it's all about.
Thank you.
God bless. And our numbers here are 8210850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Herman. Hi, Herman.
Good morning. Thank you. It was mentioned earlier on the radio that you were going to talk about a statement made by the Archbishop of Canterbury, and I just wanted to see that that would be pointed to and addressed.
Oh, okay. Yes. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I'm not. I can't quite recall it, what. But I know you said you would mention bring in a discussion, a statement he's made recently.
Well, let's do it right now, just in case I don't have time, because I do also want to get over to that contrition item. But he was talking about gay marriage, and you know what he said? Is that the importance of gay marriage is the same as racism. Here, let me give you it precisely. The Archbishop of Canterbury has warned the Church of England that refusing to allow blessings for gay married couples could be seen as akin to racism. He said that through its rejection of LGBT people, the church may find itself irrelevant in a changing society. And by the way, he spoke this in his presidential address to the General Synod. Does this surprise you?
No. The things you've seen coming out of the Archbishop of Canterbury office in England recently doesn't surprise me at all.
You know what they're saying is that, and here's how we can argue about this as Christians. When you're born black, that is not your choice. And therefore, people who hate people of different color, whether whites to blacks to whites, or whatever, that is racism. But homosexuality is a choice you make. I don't know. What's next online? The Archbishop of Canterbury coming out that not blessing a marriage between a father and a daughter, or not blessing a marriage between a man and a little boy, is going to be seen as akin to racism? See, once you start this kind of thing, it never ends.
Good explanation there. And in the same breath, the same mentality would say that Christianity and all other world religions are equal as well.
Well, we talked about that on Wednesday, and the fellow who was arguing this on a talk fest type thing on internet called Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, I always like looking at that. I don't participate that often because it's just too busy. But it is just such superficial reasons. He said because everybody calls God God in the different languages, that therefore we obviously all worship the same God. And the point I made is the devil also is called God in the Bible, the God of this world. So does that mean the devil is the same God as Jesus Christ? Just ridiculous.
Good point, yes. Well, thank you very much.
And thank you for reminding me of that. I appreciate that. Okay. Anybody else can call. The numbers here are 821-0850. Long distance, 1-800-730-2727. Now, that statement by a leader of a Christian church, Archbishop of Canterbury, that gay marriage is akin, refusing to do so is akin to being racist, is just really unbelievable. You know, the world changes quickly. There still are a lot of countries that oppose homosexuality in their laws, in the sense that they don't allow gay marriage, and a lot of states that do also. But if you take a look at the fall of nations, 22 civilized nations began to fall apart when they became immoral, specifically abortion and racism in our day. If this isn't changed around somehow, and I'm very happy to say that in regard to abortion, more and more states are doing laws that help reduce the number of abortions simply by letting a woman see that within her, before she does the abortion, is a real child. And that stops a lot of them from going through the abortion. So, appreciate Roland and Herman calling. Anybody else can call. No problem with that. But let's get, since I've got a moment here, let's get to what I wanted to talk about law and gospel. What really has helped me, William Whedon did a wonderful talk recently about why to remain a Lutheran. And he is the shepherd here at the International Center. He's the pastor in-house. And one of the things he was talking about that really struck me was, what is contrition? And if you had asked me, I would have said, well, contrition is simply being sorry for your sins. But I should have known that wasn't really that accurate, because if you look up in Wikipedia, I was like looking up Wikipedia, because then you know that if you're in agreement with Wikipedia, you're probably wrong. And sure enough, here's their definition of contrition: the state of feeling sorry for bad behavior, the state of being contrite. Now, I'm just going to ask you this very simple question. You know what that means? Who would that include? It would include Judas. Judas, it says, was sorry for his behavior. But it doesn't use the word, the proper word, for repentance. It shows that he was sorry for the consequences. So contrition needs to be much more than just being sorrowful. And we'll talk about that after we get back from another caller, this time Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Pastor. I just like your thoughts on this. I think there's a distinction to be made between civil rights and human rights. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, we are born sinners. And that's not our choice. I'm concerned because I really don't see how one can equate homosexuality with racism.
Right.
And I'd like your thoughts on Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And 18, Isaiah 18. I like what the King James Version says for the Song of Solomon passage. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. When we understand from Colossians that there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free,
male nor female,
barbarian nor Scythian,
yeah,
it doesn't say gay or straight.
Right.
And I think that
it doesn't do anything with behavior.
Right. Yeah.
These are things that, as you so well said, you're born this way in the sense of either being black or white or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that I'm going to question you a little bit that we don't choose to sin. We do choose to sin, because the fact is that you do have the fact that you willingly sin. It's a thing about whether you have the will to sin or not. The reason that God holds us accountable for our sin is that we are not forced to sin. We willingly sin. And therefore, it's not something that we're fighting against, and the only way out, therefore, is the Savior.
Well, that much is true. The point I was trying to stress was, like David says, in sin, my mother conceived me.
Right.
We believe in original sin.
That's right.
So...
And it has all kinds of impacts as we come into the world. We may have a temper. We may be open to hurting people. We may be a racist. We may be a homosexual. These are the things that happen with original sin. We all don't have the same kinds of sin, but all of them deserve temporal and eternal punishment. So if your only sin is one of gossip, it's as bad as homosexuality.
Right. So that's the distinction that I wanted to make.
Yes, it's a good distinction.
We don't sin because we're sinners. We are sinners.
Because we sin.
Because we sin.
I'm a little confused on the civil rights and human rights. What were you trying to get to there?
I was trying to get to the civil rights. There are some things that are legal that are not biblically moral.
Yes.
And I think that that is based on whatever society you live in, their laws.
Exactly.
Human rights are defined in God's law, the natural law.
A good example would be Pontius Pilate, who had the civil right to crucify Jesus, but he wasn't following proper human rights because he even knew the man was innocent.
Right.
That's a good distinction.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for calling there, and anybody else may call. The numbers are 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. All right. Let's just kind of go back to this idea of contrition is being much more than just being sorry for your sins. So what is contrition? Well, C.F.W. Walther in Thesis 15, you are not rightly distinguishing law and gospel and the word of God if you turn the gospel into a preaching of repentance. In other words, and some people do this, they take a look at your life and they decide, you know how you know that you are truly a Christian and a believer? Is because look at your works of repentance. They examine your life to give you the assurance of salvation. And that is just wrong. That is just wrong. Because there is a wide sense of repentance and there is a narrow sense of repentance. The wide sense is always found when it's talking about repent in the sense of, therefore, you will be saved. It includes both law, accusation, and gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But then there's a narrow sense of repentance, like in Mark 1:15, it says, repent and believe in the gospel. Obviously, when John the Baptist uses repentance there, he does not mean faith. Otherwise, his statement would be unnecessary repetition. But it is this next part that really I found very interesting, because it changes the idea of contrition from one of just being sorry for your bad behavior to something far greater. By repentance, Jesus refers to the effects of the law and means to say that since they had not become alarmed over their sins, it had not been possible for them to believe. For there can be no faith in the heart that has not first been, what's the word? Terrified. Boy, is that good. You see, proper contrition is just not being sorry for your bad behavior. It includes being terrified of the fact that you deserve nothing but hell, eternal condemnation. What a difference. Our numbers here are 8210850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's go speak with Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to comment about the Issues Etc. program, of which I heard the very last part of Pastor James May talking about missionary efforts in Africa and the spiritual hunger that people have there for the teaching of the Scripture and the, especially the Lutheran teaching, where we baptize infants, and the way Luther taught baptism is starting out as belonging to Satan, and then baptism completely changes your identity, that you belong to Christ, like it says in Isaiah 43, I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine.
And that's because of being adopted.
Yes, and then starting out with the baptism, before you enter the your place of worship, you become a member of the family of God before you worship God.
That's right. Yes. In fact, it's almost a same kind of thing, because when faith is put in you, you now trust God in a way that you didn't before. That would be an act of worship. So I can't really think of a time when you wouldn't also be worshiping God as soon as you're converted. Look at Paul on the road to Damascus. You know, who are you? I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. I believe at that point he believed that. Then he was baptized. So he actually had a form of worship prior to his baptism.
And in St. Louis, there's a historic church, and I can't think of the name of it.
Trinity.
The baptismal font is in the right where you come into the church.
Narthex. It used to be up front, but they moved it, and they now have it in the narthex, where Concordia Seminary also has their baptismal font in their
right.
chapel.
And so the baptism occurs before you enter the
it's a reminder to you why you're able to enter. In fact, mm-hmm. how do we begin the worship service? The pastor says,
in the name of the Father.
Yes, and that's your baptismal formula. So the only way that we are worthy to come into the presence of God is because we are assured of having been saved in baptism.
And also the sign of the cross marks you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified.
Excellent. I sure appreciate those comments. And we're just going to go down the line here now and speak with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Of one of your programs?
Yes.
And I had a little interference in my phone, sorry. You were talking about vocation and occupation being what we do and vocation being who we are.
Well, how we do the occupation with one goal, and that is to the glory of God. So, for example, I gave an example of garbage people who, when they pick up our garbage, they make sure that the garbage cans are put back properly. They just don't throw them on the lawn. They do it to the glory of God, and therefore they serve us. And everything we should be doing should somehow give testimony that we're doing things in a way that isn't normal. I talked about this with Acts of Mercy, that the purpose of Acts of Mercy is to get somebody to ask us, why are you doing this, so that we can share the message of Jesus Christ.
So back in the days of the Israelites, you look at the book of Leviticus, and you'd say all those rules were just a way of kind of glorifying God through the different rituals that they went through.
Well, no, the ceremonial laws actually were a way of showing them that they really needed to get somehow their sins covered. And so every time they sinned, they had to do some kind of ceremonial law, and they were getting sick and tired of that. So they were really looking forward to the Messiah who would come to take away the sins of the world. So the ceremonial laws had a little bit different purpose than just acts of mercy.
I see. So today we know what they didn't. So since we do have that with us, we treat them like they're God's garbage cans, in other words.
Yes. Well said.
Okay, I see. Okay. Very interesting. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you. Well, perfect timing there. And don't hesitate. On Monday, we're going to be getting ready for Transfiguration Sunday, but we're not going to do the Transfiguration on Law and Gospel. We're going to do that on Issues, Etc., the Sunday School lesson. But we are going to take a look at a time when the people of God in the Old Testament not only saw God, but they ate and drank with God. When did that happen? We're going to talk about it on Monday. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.